الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة. الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منة. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. على آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام، من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have been talking extensively for some time about the powers of evil and the powers of the divine and how can one overcome the other. Today we are going to begin, inshallah, at looking and at examining the moral maladies that gives sovereignty or power of evil over the power of good. One of these maladies and one of these diseases of the heart is a very dangerous one, and that is known in Arabic as riya, wal-iyadu billah, or what we call it is one form of hypocrisy, because there are various forms of hypocrisy. What does riya mean as an Arabic word? I will try to give the best English description of it and the actual meaning of that word. It means to falsely make oneself appear to be virtuous in front of people to earn their respect and admiration. And the one who is engaged in the act of mura'at, in the act of riya, takes integrity, uprightness, virtue, honesty, and piety without an authentic intention of acquiring these traits simply and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I presume all these traits, I acquire all these traits not to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to win the pleasure and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather I acquire it on the understanding that I will win the admiration and the acceptance of people that are living with me. Therefore, mura'ah has different stages. Stage number one is to display all religious belief and show off one's knowledge of religious teaching in order to project oneself as an honest person in front of a congregation. Number two stage, or stage two, or step two of riya, is when a person pretends to have eradicated false belief from one's own heart and thought, and that such purification, they want to attain, through that such purification, they want to attain power and respect among people. Or abstain from evil deeds in front of others with the intention to prove to people that they have attained such a high and lofty status in regard to their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that people would confer on them words of praise, words of eulogies, words of thanks, so that they will attain only these favors from people. Hypocrisy is in religious faith. There are other forms of it. There is social hypocrisy, for example. But we are talking about hypocrisy in faith. Hypocrisy in religion is the worst kind of all hypocrisy. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described them in the Quran by saying, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Hypocrites are at the lowest level in the levels of Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. They don't acquire a middle or an upper. No, they go right to the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that these particular type of people who were present at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as Allah described them in Surah Al-Baqarah and in many other places in the Quran, that they pretended by pretense. They used to say, وَإِذَا رَأُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. وإذا انقلبوا إلى شياطينهم قالوا إنا معكم. When they see the believers, they say, we are in your company. But when they go back to their own devilish companies, they say, we are with you. We were just pretending in front of these people that we are with them. يخادعون الله وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. They think that they can, in fact, fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in fact, that they are only fooling themselves. وما يشعرون. The problem is that they don't realize that in fact they are the ones who are the true losers, and they are in fact the ones who are fooling no one but themselves. It is bad if its bad effect are far greater and more dangerous than any other form of hypocrisy, the hypocrisy in faith. A person who is guilty of this sin, meaning the sin of hypocrisy, wal-'iyadu billah, if he does not believe genuinely in these ideas which he pretends to believe in, is counted among the higher level of munafiqeen. Yani, if I simply practice piety, but I don't believe in it, but simply I practice it to impress others, I will be counted, wal-'iyadu billah, in the highest ranks of munafiqeen. However, if I practice that type of piety, but I believe in it, but not on account of getting the pleasure of Allah, but on account of getting the pleasure of people, then you will get the second stage of hypocrites, not the highest stage of hypocrites. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ صَلَّى عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. However, the effect of that type of hypocrisy, the second form, which I believe in it, I believe in piety, I believe in virtue, but I only believe in piety and virtue on account of pleasing others, on account of pleasing people, on account of hearing words of praise. And we will see later on, inshallah, that sometimes the imma were asked that if I, by nature, people praise me because I'm doing a good act, is it okay or is it not okay? We will see what the position will be if people praise without you actually asking for that praise in return, what the position will be. But this kind of hypocrisy, where you do it on account of getting people's pleasure, on account of hearing something good from people, what will its effect be on the heart of a mu'min, or on the heart of that person practicing such form of hypocrisy? It will cause the light of faith to fade away from his heart, to the extent where that person will have a damaged heart, and he will proceed from this stage to the following stage of becoming a total hypocrite, wal-'iyadu billah. And he will encompass in his heart the form of hypocrisy that he does it only on account of not believing in it even. Not that he would only want the praise of others, but he doesn't even believe in it at all. He just does it for the sake of doing it in order to fool people who are in front of him. Why is that so? Why does the light of the heart fade away on account of trying to pretend or use a pretense in front of people to acquire the praise in this worldly life? Because the person that commits that form of riya is in fact committing an act of shirk. An act of shirk, which is an act of polytheism. Why is he acting in that regard? Because he is associating with Allah other deities. Allah says, when you want to do something, do it solely for my sake. Be sincere enough that when you do an action, don't wait for praise from anyone. But when you associate Allah, Ya Allah, I'm doing it for you, but at the same time, I want to see what people say about me, then I have put another deity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have joined partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since this action are not purely for Allah's sake, in the hadith it is stated that any kind of riya is in fact polytheism. Any act of riya is considered as an act of polytheism. In fact, there is one hadith also that goes to highlight in saying that if anyone leaves this world يعني he dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his life away. With an atom weight of riya or kibriya in his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make him smell the essence of Jannah. Though its essence can be smelled from a distance of 500 years. Imagine, 500 years. If someone has haughtiness, wal'iyadu billah, or a form of kibriya and riya in his heart, Allah would not make him smell the essence of this Jannah or paradise, until he abandons that abhorrent act of kibr and riya in his heart. This kind of malady and vice results also in nullifying one good deeds. Subhanallah. Not only it will make or fade away the light of faith from your heart, but it will also take up your good hasanat in the process of practicing that form of riya in itself. Why? Again, because we are bringing into our heart, as we said earlier, deities beside Allah, and these are people. These are people. And to that effect, there is a hadith stated on the authority of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in which he relates a hadith, a divine hadith. Divine hadith is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. What does Allah say? He said, أَنَا خَيْرُ شَرِيكٍ مِنْ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ مَعِيَ غَيْرِي. Subhanallah. I am the best of friends. I am the best of friends. However, I would not allow anyone to associate partners when the action is for me. فَأَنَا خَيْرُ شَرِيكٍ مِنْ أَنْ أُشْرِكَ مَعِيَ غَيْرِي. I am the best of friends that I would not allow anyone to associate in work or deeds that are done for me. فَمَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَمْ أَقْبَلْهُ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِ. So whoever does any action or any deed, I shall not accept it unless that particular action is done purely for my sake and with the sincerity of being offered for my sake and my sake alone. Now, advice of getting rid of riya. How can we get riya from our hearts? A person practicing this horrible act must know that this condition of the heart and its alteration is in the hands of Allah. Yani, you don't have sovereignty over your heart in everything. And you can't have control over the hearts of others. If therefore I think that through my action of pretending or putting a pretense in front of others that I'm a virtuous person, or that someone I'm worthy of praise through my acts of worship, or through my acts of generosity, or through my acts of social and soft behavior and kind behavior, I am trying to soften the hearts of others so that they will give words of praise, I must understand first and foremost that the heart of someone else is not under my control, but under the sovereignty and control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah decides that you will be accepted in the heart of people, whether you pretend or not, it is Allah who will bring that love and affection in the heart of people, whereby I cannot infuse or inculcate that heart, that love, or acceptance, or generosity, or words of praise in the mind or hearts of others. That the condition of the heart and its alteration is in the hand of Allah. There is a hadith. It says, "Inna qalb al-mu'min bayna usba'ayn min asabi' al-Rahman yuqallibuhu haythu yasha." It doesn't mean that Allah has organs. The hadith says that the heart of a mu'min is in the fingers of Allah. He replaces it and he turns it the way he wants. It doesn't mean that Allah, walayyadu billah, has fingers, as some people interpret, that Allah ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. What does that mean? That Allah has a seat and he is sitting, and that because he's so big, his fat is getting over the side of the seat, walayyadu billah. What sort of nonsense is this? What sort of non-acceptance of description of Allah Can this be when Allah Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ? How can you attribute to Allah organs and bubbly body? Are we talking about some figurines here or something? There's some people that worship something in this world that he looks fat, and when he's sitting, his bulges overcome the seat. I don't want to talk about other people's faith. But we are also projecting Allah in that shape, wal-iyadu billah. And unfortunately, some ahadith are being narrated in some books of hadith that goes to that effect, that states or resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a figure. And these people are called in Islamic terminology al-mujassima, wal-iyadu billah, who give a jism, who gives the body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah munazzahun an dhalik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more greater than for him to have a body or a figure, as some people claim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls, that is the meaning of alterating the heart of a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the control over someone's heart. Allah is the one that takes under his control the heart of his servants. And the love and hate of someone cannot be outside the range of his power subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can occupy the heart of a human being without his permission. Hence, Allah is the real owner of the heart, and no one can claim sovereignty of his own heart even. Except that when you exercise spiritual training for the sake of Allah, then Allah's advancement and health comes your way, and Allah will give you the ability that your heart will be filled with light and guidance. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلُنَا. Those who exercise true spiritual training for our sake and simply for our acceptance, then we will advance them in guidance. Thus, if hypocrisy is meant to attract others and earn their respect, we must know that this will not bear its fruit or desired goals. For this is totally beyond my power. For he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the ruler over the heart. He makes the hearts of people a seat of love for whom he soever wishes, and he denies that love from the hearts from whom he soever wishes. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Was asked about the following verse. فَمَنْ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He was asked, what is the meaning of the end of that verse? وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He replied in the following. He said that a man who works something, who carries out an act of deed, wishing that he will be rewarded for it, but in the exercise of doing something good, his sincerity of action is not to gain the acceptance and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather he wishes to hear the praises of people who are living with him. فَهَذَا الَّذِي أَشْرَكَ بِرَبِّهِ. This is the man who have associated partners with Allah. It is not only the one who takes an idol and worship it is considered as someone who associated partners with Allah. No, according to this tafsir of Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, anyone who wishes to make an action or a deed, but while making that good deed, he is actually not seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is seeking to maintain the pleasure of people and the praise of people, it is he, in the words of Imam Sadiq salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, that is trying to associate or is actually associating partners with Allah. Thumma qal, and then Imam Sadiq said, to explain the matter even further, ma min abdin asarra khayran. Anyone who hides some sort of good in his heart, whereby when he pretends that he is doing for the sake of Allah, while in his heart he knows fully that he is doing for the praise, whoever hides something good in his heart And he does not reveal it before people. Because he does not want the praises of people. What does Imam Sadiq says? There will come a time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal his good simply on account of his sincerity. Yeah, and if I do something good at home, or if I donate something for people without anyone knowing or realizing, simply on account of getting the pleasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make public this virtuous act on behalf of his servant on account of his sincerity. On account of the sincerity of that person. So he will not die until his good will be known to all people, or at least to the community or the society he is living in. وَمَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ سَرَّ شَرًّا. And anyone who hides or conceals something bad against anyone of his brothers or sisters, or against anything in community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall not make him depart this world until Allah will reveal his secrets in front of people, so that they would know that he was an evil person. There was a man during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that came. No. That came into the mosque. So the Prophet commented. He said few words. He said, "Man sarrahu an yanzura ila rajulin min ahli al-jannah falyanzur ila hadha ar-rajul." He said, whoever wishes to look at a man from the people of Jannah or the inhabitants of Jannah, let him look at that person. So one of the people who are seated, he said, I want to go and find out what does this man do so that he won such a comment and such a praise from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet is saying that this man is no doubt going to Jannah. And if you want to look at him, if you want to look at the people of Jannah, look at that man. So that man went and knocked on the door of that person. He said, I am a wayfarer. I'm someone who is traveling. And the practice of Arabs at that time was when someone is, you know, traveling and he doesn't have a place to stay, they will take him in for 3 days until he actually, you know, prepares his affairs and fixes problems. So he went inside. He wants to detect and find how he can change himself to be in accordance with that person, so maybe he can get the same praise from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he goes inside, and he waits for a, you know, an extraordinary action that this man is going to do. Come Isha time, he prays and he sleeps, and he snores in his sleeping. Until it is Fajr time. He gets up, he makes wudu, he prays, he does his own rituals of salawat and tasbih, and then goes back to sleep. And then at the Dhuhr time he prays, and then comes back at home, provides his family with food. At night he goes to sleep, and again he is in deep, deep sleep. This man is, what's wrong with this guy? The second night in a row and he's sleeping. There's nothing extraordinary about him. So the third night the same. So he goes to him. He said, listen, I'm not a wayfarer, I'm nothing. I just came into your house to see what are you doing, so that the Prophet gave you such a status. He said, you must know, my brother, that when I put my head in the pillow, I don't ask anyone for praise, and I have no hatred in my heart for any of my Muslims. He said, for that reason you won that praise from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, sometimes little action can bring you so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to Ahlul Bayt sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as there is sincerity of action in what we are doing. That should not be misinterpreted also, that I should be negligent of Salatul Layl or extra voluntary prayers. Oh no, this will also elevate your position. Though the Prophet said he is from the people of Jannah, but in Jannah also there are levels. Depending where, what level you want to be in, it depends on your sincerity of action and on your level of worship in this world. And Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi says, in order that I can combat any form of riya, whenever I feel myself I'm about to fall into it, He gives three indicators. Three red lights. Amir al-Mu'mineen gives three red lights. He lights up three red lights in front of ourselves in order to use it as a scale of measurement. Whenever I feel or my heart feels inclined towards this action. He said, عَلَامَاتُ الْمُرَائِ ثَلَاثِ. The signs of someone who pretends to be a virtuous person in front of people for the sake of gaining their trust and gaining their praise are three. Three signs. Number one, يَمْشَطُ إِذَا رَأَ النَّاسِ. When he sees people, he gets up and he pretends that he is praying like Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. That he is so concentrating in prayer that people feels ashamed to pray next to him because their prayer is nothing in comparison to his prayer. يَمْشَطُ حِينَ يَرَى النَّاسِ. When people are looking at him, he perfects his act of worship. وَيَكْسَلُ إِذَا كَانَ وَحْدَهِ. But when he is alone, he does not even want to get off his seat to offer any prayers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to help anything when he is by himself. He hears the call for prayer. He said, Ya Allah, there is time. But when he comes to the mosque, for example, he pretends that he wants to race to be in the first line and so on and so forth, walayyadu billah, without having true sincerity to Allah. And number three, وَيُحِبُّ أَن يُحْمَدَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. And he wants that people would praise him in every time, in every condition, at every space and time. He doesn't like to hear the praise or the good words being conferred to people other than him. If he happens to be the leader in a community and someone else is doing something good, for example, and some people praise that someone, he becomes agitated. He becomes so angry that the praise is not coming his way. Three signs. يَنْشُطُ حِينَ يَرَى النَّاسِ وَيَكْسُلُ حِينَ يَكُونُ وَحْدَهِ وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يُحْمَدَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So if I find myself having any one of these وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ traits, that I feel that I am energetic to exercise acts of worship when I'm among people, I must ask myself, يَا نَفْسِ, make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your sincere, is the one that you ask sincerity from him and don't pretend. And when I'm by myself and I find myself getting lethargic and getting lazy, I should push myself and say, now you are getting lazy, but just a minute ago you were pretending to be energetic. Get up and change your state of affairs so that Allah will be pleased with you, not people. And when I hear the praises of others, I should feel humbled that in our community there are people who are doing better than what I can do. Or at least doing what I can do. Just like that alim, there was an alim who used to teach his students. And at one stage, his students used to quote other alims when they used to come to present a paper in front of him. And he used to take offense. He used to say, in my session, when you want to quote, you quote my teaching, you don't quote the ra'i or opinion of someone else. And one day, one of his students who was doing Bahti Kharij, he reached the level of Bahti Kharij in Hawza, and he quoted another alim. And that man, all of a sudden, that alim, left his minbar, or where he was sitting, and went down and he prostrated to Allah, and he prolonged his prostration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until his students were amazed at his action. They said, you never did this before. So when he finished his sujood, they asked him, what happened to you? Why are you in sujood? He said, I have been battling within myself for 35 years this habit of trying to extinguish from my heart the envy when another alim is being remembered in front of me. And today I was able to overcome that problem in my heart. So I prostrated to Allah that He keeps me steadfast away from any riyah or any false pretense in 35 years. And he never gave up because he knew he had a problem and he had to battle it. And he was privileged because of his sincerity of action that he was able to overcome his problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who will always seek that particular line of worship. I will conclude with the following hadith, which I started in the beginning, where Zurara, one of the students of Al-Imam Al-Baqir, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he said, a man among us would do something good, and people would see that good. فَيَسُرُّهُ ذَلِكَ. That means the man becomes pleased that people sometimes see his good action. So Imam Baqir said, لَا بَأْسَ بِذَلِكَ. There is no problem with that, but on condition. مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَظْهَرْ لَهُ فِي النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. Everyone would like that his goodness, people would recognize, that people would recognize his goodness. However, as long as he does not do it to get the praise of people, if in the course of doing it, people praise him without his prior intention to get...
الله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله على نعمة الإسلام وكفى بها نعمة الحمد لله على منة الولاية وكفى بها منا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا النبي المؤيد والرسول المسدد والمصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سفن النجاة الأعلام من ركب سفينتهم نجا ومن تخلف عنها هلك وغرق. ثم أما بعد, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Today, inshallah, we'll be moving onward to look at the second malady of the heart, or the second vice of the heart, in order to be able to allow, as I always say, the powers of the divine to overtake the satanic powers that we find sometimes embedded or being harbored in our hearts. And today's topic is about something in Arabic which is called ujub. And this is another dangerous trait or vice that penetrate the heart of a human being. And like riya, ujub is also something very difficult that a person has to endure. Real struggle of nafs, or against one's own nafs, in order to be able to eliminate such vices and such shortcomings from one's own heart. What is the meaning of ujub? In one word, it is what we call self-conceit. Yani, to describe it in one word, when someone has self-conceit. But the full description of ujub has a number of stages. One of them is the magnification of one's virtues and good deeds with a feeling of superiority on their account, while exonerating oneself from all faults and shortcomings. Yani, someone feels himself or magnifies within his heart whatever virtues that he does, and by the same token and at the same time, he exonerates himself from any faults or shortcomings. Yani, he tells himself, you have no mistakes. Everyone is wrong except you. You blame everyone that he is doing the faults, that everyone else is doing guna, and when it comes to you, you put yourself, or I put myself, wal-iyadu billah, in the position or the station of a ma'soom, or an infallible personality. And at the same time, if I do little work, I magnify it, of course through the help of shaitan, magnify it through my eyes and through my heart, until I feel that the little I'm offering, there is no one on the face of earth that can compare to my act of worship. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. And then, Imam Rida, salawatullahi salamu alayhi, explains. There is one of his companions, Ali ibn Suwayd. Ali ibn Suwayd asked the Imam, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, you know, these days, some people ask you how to make money. But the companions of our a'imma, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi, they wanted to know how to make money of akhirah, not money of dunya. They were not worried about the wealth in this world. They want to know how they will attain the hereafter. You would find, if you go and examine all the questions that are posed by the ashab, by the companions, by the friends of the a'imma, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhim ajma'een, you would find that their main concern is akhirah. They were always asking the a'imma about the hereafter and how they cleanse their inner self in regard to attain that akhirah. So Ali ibn Suwayd asked al-Imam al-Rida about ujub or self-conceit, vanity, that sorts the quality of good deeds, that wastes away the quality of good deeds. The Imam replied in the following words, there are several levels of ujub. One of them is when one's bad qualities appear to him as good. Ajib. You know, I am doing something bad, yet I find, or I tell myself that I'm doing something good. For example, someone starts a business, and then shaitan comes to him as Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَسْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ أَوْ مَسْرَ الدَّمِ مِنْ. The devil runs through the body of the son of Adam, means the human being, like blood runs through his arteries. You know, some people, instead of having blood in their arteries, they have little devils running up and down, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, injecting them on a daily basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, to display such sort of vanity and self-conceit and pride and riya and what have you. All these vices. So, he wants to begin a business, for example. Hotel. He says, bana, now I have to have alcohol. He says, yeah, and inshallah, Allah will overlook my mistakes. Because what? I will be giving khums from that business. You know, shaitan comes to you in a very clever way. He never tells you to go 100% against Allah. He says, no, bana. You can start the business, but pay khums. You know, there is a concept in the West they call money laundering. You know, these top tycoons, when they want to run from tax, they bring it into third world countries to money launder, to wash away this money in order to invest it without their government knowing that they are taking the money out of that country. We think we can do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can start a business, but I'll pay him khums. Yani, as if Allah's kingdom is gonna increase with my khums. As if Allah's majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grow bigger on account that I'm paying khums. Habibi, when you pay khums, you are paying khums in order to clean yourself, not to clean Allah's money or kingdom. Walayyadu billah. It falls on me, on my account to do that and to clean myself. So he says, it appears to him as good. My bad points appear to me as good. He reckons them as good ones and he congratulates himself. La hawla wa la quwwata. Not only that he is doing bad and that he is seeing that his actions are good, but no, he goes to praise himself. He said, MashaAllah, bana, look at you. You are, Allahu Akbar, on the road to safety, on the path to salvation. No one is like you. And his arrogance grows and grows until he cannot see any of his faults as the description in the beginning has indicated. And he congratulates himself while magnifying that he in fact performing an act of virtue. He thinks that while performing that bad deed, he is actually performing an act of virtue. While another kind of ujub, this is the hadith continuing by Imam Rida salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi. While another level of ujub is represented by a person who believes in God and thinks that he has done a favor towards God, whereas God Almighty is incumbent to confer a favor on him on account that he believes in Allah. Yani he goes and says, Ya Allah, I believe in you. Come on. Because I believe in you. Ya Allah, there is a deal. I believe on you, you have to pay me back. Hello? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. We know, وَقَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. The Bedouin Arabs came to the Prophet and they took pride They said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, we are mu'mineen. And Allah reveals to them, قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّ عَلَيَّ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Don't come and favor your iman on me. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. But it is Allah who shows His favor on you, that He has actually shown you the truth from falsehood. This Arab had an incredible type of mentality. You know, they were so crazy in the way they analyzed things. For example, once the Prophet ﷺ asked an unbeliever to believe in Allah and to offer prayers. He said, do you want me to be in a position? Look at the analysis of such a mentality. He says, you want me to be in a position where my backside will be over my head? Listen to that excuse. You know, when someone goes in prayer, an Arab, he says, you want me to go in a position as such that my... la hawla wa la quwwata. Where are you going? This is part of your body and this is part of your body. What are you talking about in regard to this? But shaitan is going into his artery. Shaitan is running through his blood in order to... And then when they believe in fact they can gain something from that Islam, they come and they spread what favors on Allah. Ya Allah, come on, ya Allah. You said, if you believe on me or in me, I will repay you in return. And it is like a deal. You know, when someone who's a very shrewd businessman, before he invests his money, he makes a feasibility study. In that feasibility study, he calculates whether the amount of money he is investing and what he is going to earn in profit, if it's not going to be at least tenfold what he invested, then he's not going to invest. And some people are like this. Imam Ali salawatullahi wasalamu alayh says there are three kind of people. One of them, that they worship Allah like merchants, like businessmen. What happens? They calculate on account of winning Jannah. So I worship you, Ya Allah, so I can... My main purpose is to win Jannah. There is nothing wrong in the concept itself. But the Imam describes that type of worship as a merchant. He calculates his profits. And there are those who worship Allah as slaves. Slaves in the sense that they have any form of decision to make. Absolutely dissolve themselves. Why? Out of fear of Jahannam. وَالْعِيَادُ بِالْكَ. But there are those who worship Allah on the premise and the understanding that is what? That there is Jannah or Naar? No. On the understanding that Allah is worthy of being worshipped, so they worship Him. وَتِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ الْأَحْرَارِ. And this is the worship of the free ones. The free. I decide to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah in His infinite wisdom is truly worthy of that worship, not on account of anything. The worst form of ujub, however, is when a person believes to have conferred a favor on his supreme benefactor, as the Imam has said. Yani, I am doing something thinking that I will expand the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or to believe that through his belief or the performance of good deeds that he has caused the boundaries of the kingdom of Allah to expand. Or by performing or promoting the laws of God from the pulpit, for example. وَلَيَّادُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah take the disease of ujub from our hearts. Sometimes one guy came and asked me once in America, he says, Sheikh, when you sit on this pulpit, how do you feel? Do you get the grandeur of being, you know, in a position of power? Or someone asked, Sheikh, how do you get all this, promotion? How do you feel when you feel that you are outspoken among people? I say, when I sit on here, I'm trembling. I'm trembling. Why? Because these diseases can creep to you easier, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, easier and more gloomier than a worm inside a very dark stone in a black jet night. Can you see that worm crawling through? If you are in a jet black night, and that worm is crawling under a very dark rock in a jet black night, and it's going through that, you know, it's rock. Can you feel it? Can you see it? No. Ujub comes like this way into your hearts. If you are not strong enough to rebut it, to shun it away. Sometimes you say, I would rather be a listener than a speaker. Wallah, so that this type of acts don't come through your heart and penetrate you. All these people, there are so many people who started along that life of preaching and then they thought, if it wasn't for me, God's religion would not spread left, right and center. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold your reins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Bashar, the master of all people, wa khayru wildi Adam, and the best of all the sons of Adam, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin, when he makes dua as if he is calling on Allah to oversight or to overlook his shortcomings, and he is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيْهِ فَلَا أُبَالِي. You know, when he went to Ta'if, he says to Allah, Ya Allah, as long as there is no wrath on you upon me, then I am okay, I'm in safe place. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam calling on Allah. And you see, as the Dua Kumayn, Dua al-Iftitah, you know, the Sahifa Sajjadiyya, the way Imam Sayyidina al-Abidin salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhi speaks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you say about ourselves in regard or in comparison to these holy imams, salawatullahi wa sallamu alayhim? And through the actions of whatever act of worship, always I'm thinking along the sides of what? Along the sides or along the lines, wal-iyadu billah, that I'm actually doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though the person may not say it verbally, I may not say that I'm doing that favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally. What happens? It penetrates in the heart that he may think in this manner in the process of ujub. So while I am performing the act, it is in my heart that I'm thinking along those lines, not on my lips that I'm paying favors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person practicing ujub, would blow his trumpet and say words to the following effect. Misfortune is in exchange of friendship. What does that mean? Yani he says, al-bala'u al-wala'u ala qadari al-bala'. Al-wala'u ala qadari al-bala'. Yani he blows his trumpets in front of people. The more he is hit with misfortune, the more he would say, see, I am the saint of Allah. Because the more you are examined, the more you are being inflicted, with these sorts of tribulation, the more Allah is taking you closer to Him as a friend. While in fact, which implies that to be a saint, you would always be set with hardship. While in fact, when he is alone by himself, he complains as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him thus far. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inflicting on him this hardship, and when he is alone, he says, Ya Allah, I'm doing all this good work, and in return, that is the way you pay me. While you give the munafiqeen all the wealth and all the money, at least bring something this way. You know, at least 10% of what we are giving these people, at least we are your servants, at least we are the one who, you know, always words of conferring favors on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the degree that you would be in a position that you don't think anymore about what you are saying or what you are doing. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.